You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want you to turn to 1 John if you got your Bible. Here's what we're going to do. You're like, wait a minute, we just did 1 John. We're going back to 1 John. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to anchor 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John today is what we're going to do. Not put a bow on it. A bow is too frilly and too light and can be blown away. We want to put an anchor on this. And here's what I mean by that. If you were to get to Galveston, you were to get on a cruise ship and head out into the ocean, and that cruise ship did not have an anchor, you would be in trouble is what would happen. It wouldn't be able to stop right. It wouldn't be able to hold right in the ports. It wouldn't be able to do what it needs to do. An anchor is a weighty thing that then is able to hold us firm of where we are. And in this fast-paced society, with all that's going on, we need an anchor. We need something to hold us strong and true. So here's what I want us to do. We have been going through 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John for the last months, and I want to give you an overview so that you and I can anchor this in our hearts. Because here's what happens in my life. I know a verse here. I know a book there. I know this over here. I know a passage, a story. But how do they come together? How do they work together? So we're going to drop anchor in this fast-paced world where we don't want any anchoring. We just want to keep going. You and I both know in Houston, Texas, the way you survive in traffic is the gas pedal, not the brake, right? That's how it works. But sometimes we got to put that brake on and we got to stop and say, let's look at what's going on around us and let's look at what's happening. So we're going to look at 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, and I'm going to give you an overview. So in 30 minutes, you're going to get three books of the Bible and understand what they mean and what they're about. So 1 John, it begins, I've got some little, we're going to go to VBS today as we have some visual aids. 1 John has got an intro and it's got a conclusion. The intro of 1 John is stating that Jesus is God. That's what it's stating. That we have seen him, we've touched him, we've felt him, and we understand that Jesus is God. And you're listening, God, I've got these same graphs that you'll be able to fill out, so I hope that you'll take notes. So let me direct your attention to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, talking about Jesus is God. Here's what it says. What was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have observed, what we have touched with our own hands. So he said, I've gotten everything around this. I've seen all this concerning the word of life. That life was revealed and we have seen it and we testify and we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father was revealed to us. Well, who is this? What we have seen and what we have heard, we also declare to you so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now watch what happens. We're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So John is saying this. He's the Apostle John. He's an elder at this point. He's an older man. He's given a heartfelt love. He said, I want y'all to know, we've seen Jesus. We've touched Jesus. We've held Jesus. We were there. We saw the whole thing. And if you will come to know him as we have come to know him, we're writing this so that our joy may be complete. He's not just some person that ended up on planet Earth. He's not just some prophet. He's not just some good teacher. Jesus is God's son. He is God in the flesh. So he kicks off by just saying, Jesus is God. I've seen the whole thing. And then the conclusion says, you can know him. Look at the last verses now. Flip a couple pages, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5. Look at how he concludes this. He concludes it in 5, 18 through 20 is where the conclusion is. I want to just give you verse 20 and 21. And we know that the Son of God has come. We're not guessing. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the true one. We are in the true one. That is in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So the bookends of 1 John is that Jesus is God. That's one. And then the next bookend, the last is we know the truth of Jesus. So these two things create the bookends. Now, let me bring it down to your life and my life. We all need anchors in our life. Here's what we need. We need to put our life in between these two bookends. That's where we need to be, in between these two bookends. That I know that Jesus is God. He's not just some person I kind of take or leave. He's God, and he came in the flesh as the Son of God because he loves me, he cares for me, and has a plan for my life. Not only do I know that in my mind, we can come to know Jesus as the truth of God. So here's what happens. If I will put my marriage in between, there is a God. Because you're going to need to know that there's a God in marriage. Marriage isn't always easy, and you're going to have to know that there's a higher, bigger story going on. And if I put my marriage in that, if I put my singlehood in that, if I realize as a student, there is a God, no matter what all my teachers are telling me, there is a God. And so now I've got a foundation to stand on. And on the other side, I can know him. That's what 1 John's saying. He is real, and you can know him. And when we put our marriages there, when we put our singlehood there, we put our time in school there, when we put our careers there, now I've got some anchors in my life. If I just kind of go, well, I don't know if there's a God, I'm not really sure, and maybe so, I'll get to that later. But now we're drifting in the ocean without an anchor. And if we say, well, there's no way I can know him and he can't really make a difference in my life, then we're drifting in the ocean without an anchor. And we need that anchoring right there. So what happens in the middle of 1 John? Well, in the middle of 1 John, we find two things. The first thing is this. We find that in chapter 1, verse 5 to 3:10, we find that God is light. God is light. That's, you can fill that out in your listing guide. God is light. So that's what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 3:10. The beginning of it is God is light. Do you need light in your life? He is light. I need light. You need light to be a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path. It's hard to walk in the dark, isn't it? So we want God's will for our life, that we can walk in the dark and that God can take care of us and we can walk these things out. Now, that's a blessing. He can be our guide. Maybe you're in a dark time in your life. Maybe you've come from a dark time in your life. There is light that God can give you. Now look at what it says in verse 5 of chapter 1. We'll put it up on the screen. It gives us this section here of God is light. Here's what it says. Chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message. We're going to see that in just a few verses, a couple chapters later on the next thing. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. That's incredible and amazing. Now, when you think about God is light, it's kind of like saying water is wet. How does water become wet? It is wet, right? How does the sun become light? It is light. How does the sky become blue? It is blue. It's what's called intrinsic glory. In that object, it exists. Now, if you were to take a king, you got to give him a robe, you got to give him a crown, you got to give him a scepter. That's granted glory, right? Now, what if, let's don't do this, but what if we decided back next weekend we're going to get together, but we're not going to brush our teeth from now till then. We're not going to take a bath from now till then. We're not going to change our clothes. We're going to sleep in these clothes. We're going to get up in these clothes. We're going to do everything. It's just going to be that. And we're going to all show up next week at church exactly how we are after a week. It would not work. Why? Because this all good looking stuff we got going on today is granted glory is what it is. Right? Ladies, this is granted by Clinique is what it's granted by. Maybe. Whatever. I don't know makeup brands. So I just know that one because you walk through the mall and there they are. Right? It's granted by whoever you bought your clothes from. It's granted by whatever soap and shampoo you use. It was granted glory that you look as wonderful as you do in this very moment. But intrinsic glory is that God is light. He doesn't become light. He doesn't add light to him. He is light. And that means that when we trust in him, we're able to let the light of the Lord lead us. Now, I had a friend give a Bible study this week that I heard. He did a great job. And he said something that really stuck with me. He said this, our plans are what we see when we're going forward. They're future tense. But God's story is what we see when we look backwards. Because we all make a lot of plans and all those plans don't come true, do they? I would have told you in college or seminary that I would be a full-time youth minister in Dallas would be my career. I've never done that. But I can look back and I can see the story of God in my life. I was a youth intern in Dallas for a couple summers at a church. But to look back, I see God's story. And here's what you want. You really don't want your plans. You want God's story. Because your plans are one thing, and we should plan. I'm a planner. You should be a planner. It's a good quality. But to know that those plans are in the hands of the Lord. So I want to look back on God's story. And when I follow God as the light of my life and I'm walking in his path in my plans, but saying, Lord, it's your story. Now some light really comes in my life and I'm able to look back with the story of God of what's happening in our life. The light of God. You know, in graduations, just went to one yesterday. I'll tell you a little bit more about and further in the message. But they showed pictures of the kids, and they showed like a baby picture, a grade school picture, and then kind of a young high school picture, and then finally their graduation picture. And I thought as I was sitting there, how much of a life is in four snapshots? I was crying. I didn't even know all these people. I was like, that's so sad. It's so happy. It's so, you're leaving, but I don't know you, but it's sad. But the music, I mean, just on it goes, right? But you see the light of God being lived out in people's life as he journeys forward. Not only is it God's light, we see in 1 John, beginning in chapter 3, verse 11, to chapter 4, verse 7, that God is light, but that God is love. That's what 1 John's about, that God is light and God is love. And so we're able to see he's light and he's love, and those come together. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, it says this. It said, this is the message that we have given to you. So again, the message, this is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Listen to verse 7 and 8 of chapter 4. You could just turn your page if you want to read along. Here's what it says. Chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And if everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. He is love. Without God, love is just a hollow shell. It's just something we're trying to say, hey, let's just be nicer to everybody and that'll change the world, right? No, it won't. It's got to come from the core of who you are, because if it's just the outer shell, you'll love until you become inconvenienced. And then once you become inconvenienced or slighted, you'll cease to love and you'll begin to grow bitter and you'll begin to respond in a different way. But love comes from God. He affirms us in his love. He cares for us in his love. So when we think about 1 John, here's what we're putting together. We're thinking about Jesus is God. He's light. He's love. And we can come to know this. So here's 1 John. Let me wrap it up for you. And then I want you to repeat this with me. We're going to say together in just a moment, we're going to say, God is light, God is love. And that will be 1 John for you. Ready? Here we go. Count of three, we're going to say it twice. 1, 2, 3. God is light, God is love. One more time. God is light, God is love. And when I think about my life, if I can put my marriage with God is light and God is love in the middle as I was standing here a few moments ago, if I can let God is light guide my parenting, God is light, guide my teenage years, and God is love, that he's got me and he's caring for me, because a lot of life seems dark and a lot of life seems mean. But when I can get God is love in there and let that really happen in a great way, that changes who I am. What does that do? That gives me an anchor to hold me true. No matter if something bad's going on in my life, I know that the Lord will lead me through it because he's light. No matter if something difficult's going on, I know that God will help me because he's filled with love and he cares for me. And that is an incredible, incredible thing. We get moving so fast that we go past these things as if we already know them, but instead to slow down and to say, God, I need your love. I need your life. You know, in this time, if we don't really absorb these times, we all think that May is kind of the time that slows down. But I want you to know, I learned this new phrase. It was this, May-cember is what people called it. May-cember, why? Because December, we know how busy December is. And we think May is just this drift into the summer. And May-cember begins to hit us, especially if you've got kids. There's all sorts of kids' activities. There's all sorts of things happening with award ceremonies, teachers this, teachers that, all these wonderful, great things that we love. They go so fast, and it's like boom, 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 boom. And we start moving through where we're like, Lord, I need your light. Lord, I need your love. And we lose these anchors because we're on the gas pedal the whole time. Just yesterday, we went to the graduation that I mentioned to you. It was amazing. We had a great time. It was my cousin, who's more like a brother. It was his daughter, so I call her my niece. So I'm an only child, but you know, that's how it works out, kind of that family way. So I went to my niece slash second cousin's graduation. And so we got there. It was amazing. We had lunch with the family. We had a 2 o'clock graduation, which was incredible. We then saw the slideshows that made us cry over kids that we don't even know. And so that was awesome. And then we went to the house and we had food. And we had all this cake, and it was incredible. We left their house so filled, so amazing. What a great time. It's 6:30 to head home from Baton Rouge. So we left. I work on Sundays. Do y'all know that? So 6:30, we're in Baton Rouge. And I'm like, we got to get out of here. And so we're cruising and we're going and moving through on I-10. Everything's fine. Everything's great. We're pulling into Houston at 11 o'clock at night. What could go wrong at 11 o'clock at night on the east side of Houston? Surely nothing on I-10 on the east side could go wrong until, boy, there's a lot of brake lights and we come to a dead stop. 11 o'clock. And we just sit there. I get out of the car and look as if I'm gonna, you know, stand in the road like I'm gonna fix something, but it made me feel better. And then we switched drivers because Kelly was driving. I said, I'm gonna drive because we're gonna go through the ditch and we're gonna get out of this thing. So we're gonna go backwards on I-10 to go through the ditch. Because, you know, men, it doesn't matter if you get there faster, it's just as long as you still keep moving, right? That's what the deal is. And ladies, you're like, it takes longer to do this. And you're like, but I'm moving. It makes me feel better. So finally the traffic broke and we got home about 11:30, got in bed about midnight and that sort of thing. And so it was great. But man, this is a busy, busy time. We need some anchors, don't we? To say, man, with college coming possibly and all these things, your love and your light is my anchor. That's my anchor. And I'm going to hold that true. So then I could jump to 2 John, a shorter book. To be able to look and to say, 2 John, what is 2 John about? Well, this hopefully is intriguing you. No, we're not going to play hangman. That's for something a little bit different. 2 John is about the things to get out of your life and to get into your life. So 2 John is this. It's a for sale sign. What's a for sale sign? A for sale sign for one group of people is saying something I need to get rid of, right? I want to sell that house. I want to get out from under that house. Maybe it was a great house. Hopefully you're going to a bigger and better house or moving or whatever it is to a different place. But to be able to have a for sale sign, something I'm going to leave. But for somebody else, it says, oh, that's our dream home. I can't wait to move in, right? So it's a give and it's also a take. It's list it or it's love it is what it is. Get it gone or get it in my life. Now, I just want you to know, to show my integrity, how much money for missions could I have raised if we would have put one of the realtors of the church as sign up here at this very moment? But we didn't, to be able to do that. To be able, I'm teasing, to be able to jump into this for sale moment in 2 John, to be able to say there's things we've got to get out of our life. 2 John is about listing it and about loving it. Let me show you in verse 1 of 2 John about loving it. This, we want to live in the house. We want to be a part of this house. It's 2 John chapter 1, because there's only one chapter, verse 1, and it says this. The elder, that's John, is an older man. It's 90 to 95 AD when this is written, most likely in Ephesus. To the elect lady, who's that lady? That's the church. Just like you'd say a boat, she was a good ship. The lady and her children whom I love in the church. He loves it. Not only I, but all who know the truth. The first thing that he's saying is this. We got to love the church and love the truth. I just ask you a question. Do you love the things of God? I mean, do you kind of go, man, I can't wait till Pastor Greg opens up that Bible and just says, man, tell me something about the scriptures. When that song happens and you just begin to worship with your heart, when you have that quiet time with the Lord throughout the week, when you're getting alone with God, is there something in you? I know we're all busy and we're all got stuff going on, but is there something in you that goes, I love it. I need it. You know what? If that's not you, you just turn to Christ and say, Lord God, your love, your light, give me a love for the things that are here. And 1 John, he says, I love it. I love the church. I love what God's doing through his people. I love what he's doing through the truth. And then he goes further and he says, but there's some things I want you to list it. I want you to get false teaching out of your life. False teaching getting out of your life. What would happen is kind of missionaries of false teaching would go around and they would ask if they could be welcomed into the church believer's home. And John's saying, wait a minute, you're not going to welcome the false teachers and we got to keep them out of the church, not bring them in because they're going to deceive us. Now, we think, well, there's no false teaching left in the world. Oh, there's tons of false teaching coming at you all the time. That's not a baby. That's false teaching is what that is. That is a baby. To be able to declare those things like that, that we hear coming, all roads lead to heaven. That's false teaching. It's not true. Islam doesn't believe all roads lead to heaven. Christianity doesn't believe all roads lead to heaven. Judaism doesn't believe all roads lead to heaven. Jesus says in the New Testament, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We started with saying Jesus is God and we can know him. So there's false teaching that abounds all around us. All we got to do is love and be nice to each other, but God is the way that you're able to get out the resource of loving. So he says, I love this lady, the church, and I love truth. And then he says in verse 10, he says, these are some things you need to sell. You need to get out of your life. Here's what it says in verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, meaning the truth of Christ, do not receive him into your home. And do not greet him, for the one who greets him shares in his evil works. So he's saying, there's some things we got to get out of our life. And let me just tell you, let's bring it back home. Pornography, out of your life. Selfishness, out of your life. Putting yourself first, out of your life. Some of the stress we have and the anxiety to be able to have it out of our lives. How does that happen? It's when I fall in love with the things of God, and it may take a long, long time, but we seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto us. And so we're able to say, Lord, I want to love you and care for you in a great way. And then we begin to express love to one another, which brings us to 3 John. What's 3 John about? 3 John, the shortest book of the New Testament, shortest book of the Bible, is here. And 3 John is basically one thing that he wants to declare to us. We had a series where we talked about the four men of 3 John. 3 out of 4 of them were great. And here's what 3 John was trying to get across to us. Share the road. Share the road. What do we mean by that? Share the road is this. Open up your heart and open up your home to those around you. Open up your heart and open up your home to those around you. Am I talking about just open up your condo and your home and you have people over? Well, sure, have people over. That's a great thing to do. That's a great blessing. But open up your life to people and allow people to connect with you. And as you allow them to connect with you, you're able to share the road, share the love of what God is doing in you and through you. So we've begun way over here that Jesus is God. Look at what John's doing to put this together. Jesus is God. Jesus, or God is light. God is love. Say that with me one more time. God is light. God is love. So we can come to know him. So now it changes what we put into our lives. There's bad stuff we need to get out. There's good stuff we need to get in. And then as those things are happening, now I realize that God wants to use me to do ministry and to share the road with other folks. Share the road with other folks. Here's what it says in 3 John verse 5. Dear friend, the loving heart of John, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and the sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love over there. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. They opened up their hearts. They opened up their homes. They opened up their lives in love. I got a little note from, I love it in our church. We'll have different times where maybe they study a scripture about the pastor or about the role of ministry or something like that. And they'll have all the little kids write me different notes. And they're always really these sweet little notes. And basically this little guy, some of them, they draw all the pictures on him in their class. He just was like, man, I got enough of that. This is perfect. All I need to say, put a little sticker. God loves you. That was it. That's all I need to say. That's great. Very efficient. I like that. 2, Pastor Greg. Foe, he should have put an R, but that's okay. Foe, David. God love you. God is love. That's it. Let me tell you what, the simplicity of a child, you take that and you put that in your heart, that'll take you miles and miles down the road. And that's what we share with people. Wait, I don't know all this theology and I don't know all this stuff and I'm not really good at that. You just share, God loves you and God is love. And what'll happen is you begin to share the road with folks and God will do something through you you could never imagine. You remember the first couple verses way back at the beginning of the message, I told you the verse 4 of the beginning of John, 1 John said this, and I write this, why? So that my joy may be made complete. It's not complete joy until you share it with somebody else. And so he takes us through God is light, God is love. Get some things out of your life, get some things in your life so that you could share the road. And then that last little blank there, you'll discover and you'll live out that Jesus is God and truth. Jesus is God and truth. And he'll live his life through you. Do you know that we're a church, we really believe in sharing the road. We want to share the road with people. We want to share the love with people. Why do we want to share love so bad? Because we know that love is the thing that really changes from God. A study from Harvard University. I love when Harvard proves the Bible. They don't know they're going to do it, but listen what happens. They did a 75-year study. They basically look at the physical and emotional well-being of two different groups of people. 456 poor men growing up in Boston, and then 268 men that graduated from Harvard. And they looked at these two groups of people, and this is what they found. This is the quote from their study. The clearest message we get from this 75-year study is this: good relationships keep us happier and healthier, period. Not how much is in your 401k, not how many conferences you spoke at, not how many blog posts you wrote or how many followers you have. The biggest predictor of your happiness and fulfillment in life is basically love. What did Harvard just do? Harvard didn't know it, and they get fired if they said it. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, it's all about right here. That's what brings it together. And we're a church that wants to know the love of Christ and share the love of Christ. So this summer, we're going to do Houston 1-8. It's based off Acts 1-8. We're going to do a mission trip to our city, all of our campuses. We'll be in over 50 sites. And also a neighborhood track where you can do something in your neighborhood, in your home, to reach out to your neighborhood. You know what's amazing about this one this year for me personally? The church I grew up in Houston, I was saved in, I was baptized in, I went to student ministry in, that church has asked us if we would do a Houston 1-8 site at their church. So I'm gonna get to go and share the love at the church that shared love with me, brought me to Christ, baptized me, allowed me to be a student in their student ministry, took me to camp, took me to retreats, did all that stuff. And I'm going to get to go back to the church that blessed me and now bring a group from the church that I pastor to bless them. Is that awesome or what? Of what God can do. That's sharing the road. Now, how did all that happen? It was because I realized God is light, God is love. I got some teenage stuff out of my life, some adult stuff out of my life to get the blessings of God in my life so that then I could share the road with others. Do you know that this is a church that we share the road? Do you know that these last 365 days from here, you know, from May whatever it is back on to May whatever it was, those 365 days, do you know that we have mobilized more money for missions than we ever have in the history of our church? We will give over $4 million to Harvey victims. $4 million. That's just one example. We're sharing the road, guys, and it's blessing us. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Let me give you just one more blowaway statistic, and then we'll wrap up. In the last 8 years of our church, 8 years, just rewind back 8 years, we have mobilized, and when I mean that, I mean our staff, I mean our mission trips that we do, I mean our faith centers that we lead all throughout the city that we're giving clothes and food to people and sharing the gospel with them. We have three of those throughout our city that we're giving stuff away, being able to minister to people, helping mission partners, our mission partners in New York City, different places. In the last 8 years, we have mobilized $82 million in the last 8 years of sharing the road. Is that incredible? That's y'all. Cheer every campus. I mean, if it was just up to you or me, we could mobilize $82. Sure, we could do that. But it takes all of us to mobilize $82 million. And that all comes back to this progression. We really believe God is the light that leads us. We believe that he's the love that holds us. And so that brings holiness into our life, that you can't just balance all the sin and all the holiness. We got to get the sin out and let the holiness that's already in our hearts of the Holy Spirit rise up so that we can step forward to the world and say, we want to make a difference in your life because Jesus has made a difference in ours. And we want to share the road. And that, my friend, is the wonderful invitation I give you to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and this could be your moment to come to know him. Think, how do I do that? I don't. How do I get access to God? It's through Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. Free gift. It's like somebody offering you court seats at the Rockets at the playoffs. And you go, yes, yes. And you walk in on what somebody else has paid for, and you sit down and you go, this is how basketball was meant to be watched right here. This is incredible. I invite you to the court side spiritually to be able to be a part of God's story of what he wants to do in you. And he could do it in you, and through you. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you for three great books of the Bible, short books. Lord, I hope that we would read them even this week, go back over them and read them. But that we would understand, Lord, that you are light, you are love. Things in our life and out of our life for sale signs so that we could share the road and care for others. We love you, Lord. We thank you. If you're hearing the sound of my voice or online or one of our campuses or right here at the Loop, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you just pray a prayer of faith? Jesus, I need you as my Savior. Wash me clean. Forgive my sins. I want you to take me to heaven when I die. I trust you. If you're a believer, just take another step. Lord, I just take another step with you. We love you. Give us courage to walk in your story, not just our plans. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.